and that is spiritually. Colossians 1:10 talks about walking worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge, earnest practice of God. In other words, we are to grow in such a way that we reflect who we follow more and more, and that growth is evidenced in increasing fruitfulness and a sincere, I looked up that word knowledge, a sincere and intense use of what we've learned. So that's what it's referring to in that particular passage of Scripture when we speak of knowledge. Now, as we go through this series on purpose, and we're looking at the different things that are our purpose, worship together, grow together, serve together, build together, reach out together, I thought more than explain to you what these things are, because I think most of you have an understanding of what growth means, I would like to hone in on some of the barriers that can inhibit our growth. And so as I was praying about this one, I think one of the things that came to mind is the fear of failure. The fear of failure can become a barrier for us growing and moving forward in our spiritual walk. Now, before we dig in to what that all means, I want to have a little fun with you. And because, of course, immediately when I hear the word fail, I think of epic fails, right? So just want to share a couple of those with you. So first one, do not enter except bikes. And you'll see the sign beside it that says, no bicycles. Somebody didn't think that one through. We have full shut-off emergency push button with a padlock on it. So, yeah, not too helpful there. I would be likely to do this, I admit. Just get so involved in the project and not realize what's going on. Now, the next one comes from, a personal experience. We do an Advent celebration with our boys where we do a different activity every day. And I thought, those look easy. I am not a baker. So I thought, those are simple. I can totally pull those off. That's that's what happened. Yeah. So I don't bake a lot. That's why you'll notice at church events there's a lot of store-bought goodies coming in. And there is a reason for that. So, failure. An epic fail, as a matter of fact. So, as I was praying about this way, I was just sharing with somebody over the coffee break that this was a difficult one. I reworked it many, many times. I kept going back to it going, it's not it. It's not it yet. We're not there yet. And I had a chance to go to St. Mary's Lake yesterday. I kind of found a nice spot there where I can, you know, be alone with Jesus and away from distractions. And I was still going through this in my mind going, how come it's just not coming together? And it occurred to me, what does God want to say to the people? Right? You can get so task-oriented that you're in it going, okay, I just got to put this here, and this slide's going to go there, and then we're going to move here, and that'll be good. And it occurred to me, wait a minute, God, what do you want to say to the people? And when I asked that question, the very first thing he put into my mind is this. First of all, if the word failure immediately resonates with you, I do believe that God wants you to hear these words today. I believe he wants to say to you, fear not. The scripture says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. So let's start from that place today, hey? Let's start from there. When we get into the fear of failure and we start elaborating on that, fear not. That is a promise from the Lord. And the next thing I want to issue out is a bit of a challenge. So if you are still where you are in your walk with God, the same place as you were a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, then that's a chance to ask yourself, why? Why am I still here? Why have I not proceeded through some of these areas that have held me bondage? Why have I not taken the next step? Why have I not seen growth in my life? What is standing in my way? And when I was reflecting on my own journey, I realized that the fear of failure was a big part, and a big part was the fear of not measuring up, and it was the fear of looking dumb, and it was the fear of letting myself and others down. And maybe some of those things you can identify with today. And a fear of failure, that can be one of the biggest obstacles that stands in the way of us growing closer to the Lord. Now, here's how I came about this. I was thinking of, actually, I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'm going to back up. So, biggest barrier, a fear of admitting our weaknesses and fear of how we could possibly stand next to a holy God. This awesome and holy God. Tara Lee read us a great scripture before the service today about how God is matchless and no equal and says, would you question me? Would you ask, or would the Lord ask us for advice? Was that how it was worded? Right? So we have this big, awesome, holy God. And I think of Adam and Eve in the garden, they hid, right? When they failed, when they sinned, when they disappointed God, they hid. They hid out of shame. And sometimes we attempt to hide ourselves from God. And as a result, we stop growing. I think of David and Peter. So David had this great failure with Bathsheba, and Peter had this great failure in denying Jesus. But they brought those things into the open. They moved past. Now, they had some help along the way, some wise counsel, some conviction of the Holy Spirit, and all of those things. But they did not shy away from growth when they were challenged, and they didn't stay stuck in their sin or their failure. They did not let this fear of failure keep them from future growth. Because I don't know, if it was me, and I had denied Jesus, to go up to him and say, so about that, right? How intimidating is that? And then to walk closely with him again. And Peter understood something about who the Lord was, right? He had spent all this other time with him where he understood the Lord's grace and the Lord's forgiveness and the Lord's loving kindness towards him. So as I was digging into this a little more, I noticed that every point in the Old Testament, we have these theophanies or Christophanies, I'll explain that in a minute, that occur throughout the Old Testament. And this is where an angel of the Lord visits somebody in the Old Testament. And I noticed that at every point, it was an opportunity for growth. It was an opportunity where God was saying, hey, here's something I want you to do, or here's what I'm asking of you, or here's what's going to happen. And I've also noticed that wherever the angel of the Lord visits, it was met with great fear, right? Fear, trembling, awe at this amazing God. And I've also noticed cases, the three we're going to look at today, where the person then argues with God about their ability to do the thing he's asking them to do. So Christophany just simply means that a lot of people believe the angel of the Lord's visitation in the Old Testament was a pre-incarnate Jesus. So it was Jesus before the incarnation, before he came to earth as a man. And the theophany is some people believe it was God the Father showing up. So let's take a look at a few examples. First of all, we have in Exodus 3, 1 to 12, we have the story of Moses and the burning bush. So Moses' reaction, amazed. And then he covered his face. He was afraid to look at God. What was God asking from him? To lead his people out of Egypt. Now, I've often pondered the scope of this. So, you know, we kind of think, oh, lead the people out of Egypt. And I think in our minds sometimes we picture like Moses leading a group of people about this size, right? And oh no, there was thousands upon tens of thousands of people. I mean, you got to remember that the whole thing with the Egyptians is it said they're multiplying like rabbits, probably not that word, but multiplying like rabbits, and they're outnumbering us. So this was a huge multitude of people that God was saying to Moses, you're going to lead them out of Egypt. And then there was a promise that he would bring them out and that Moses would come back to worship God on the very same mountain where this burning bush experience occurred. And I love the end result. Do you see that end result up there? The end result of his obedience, of taking that step to grow. Now, he argued with God, I don't have the ability, I can't do it, I need your help, and all of those things. You can read about it. But God used him as a great leader among the people. Pretty amazing. The second example is from Judges, chapter 6, verses 11 to 24. We have Gideon, and God meets him beneath a great tree at Ophrah. And Gideon says, I am doomed. He says a little more than that, but that's the essence of it. I am doomed. And God's request, rescue Israel from the Midianites. Now, I notice he says, I want you to, this is what you're going to do, whatever. But they still had a choice. all of these people still had a choice as to how they were going to respond to the Lord. God's promise was that he would be with him and Gideon would destroy the enemy. The result, and I love the fact that God addresses him this way in the first place, he turned Gideon into a mighty warrior. Then the last example, Luke 1, 8-20, Zechariah. Angel of the Lord visits Zechariah and promises John the Baptist's birth. We know him as John the Baptist. I don't know if they called him that around the house or if they just called him John. Tough to say. But it says, Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear. And God gave him instructions for raising John, instructions about wine and instructions about prayer and other things like that. And he said his promise was that John would prepare the way of the Lord. And as we read forward to what happens now, Zechariah, again, he did a little arguing with God. How can this be? We're so old, all of that kind of stuff. We, Ed and I say that a lot now. We climb a mountain. How can this be? We're so old. Yeah. But Zechariah said this, and God struck him mute, right? So he couldn't speak until after John's birth. So John's born, and it says that Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied, and he spoke over this baby. So another amazing occurrence. So I want to ask you this. What is your thing? What has God been asking you to do in regards to your growth? And as I was praying about this, I thought, is he calling you mighty warrior like he called Gideon? Is he calling you man or woman of God? Is he calling you light in a dark place? Peacemaker, bringer of unity, pastor or teacher, evangelist, missionary, one who stands for justice. When God visits you in those places, when you meet with God, what is he calling you? What have you maybe been taking a step back and maybe arguing a little with God about that next step of growth? The calling of God in our lives is accomplished in a very long series of growth steps, a very long series. I'm 45, I don't mind saying that. And I'm now a senior pastor. I didn't, at the age of 3, you know, whenever I was able to walk, start senior pastoring. There was a very long series of growth steps, steps of obedience. And I'm not saying I successfully completed every one right away. There were times where I had to come back and try again and complete those things. We don't get from one side of this room to the other in a single leap. It's a series of steps. None of us have tried yet, but I'm pretty sure it's not possible. Maybe some of the youth have tried. The youth in our church used to have this thing years ago where they would try to jump over as many church chairs as possible. You guys ever done that? Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be angry. I was just curious. So don't get any ideas. Anyway, we don't get from one side of the room to the other in a single leap. It's a series of steps. God knows your name. And when we hear that, I think we often think of the name that our parents gave us. And those can be rich with great meaning. But I think God knows your name. He knows the thing that he's calling you. Mighty warrior. Holy Spirit filled. Great leader. And in the same way he changed Abram's name, which means high father, he named him Abraham, father of a multitude. Sarai's name meant princess. He changed her name to Mother of Nations, Sarah. Jacob's name meant supplanter. He changed his name to Israel, having power with God. Simon's name meant God is heard. God changed his name to Peter, the rock, and referred to him that way. All these designations from God on these people were preceded by steps of growth and obedience. I love this slide. The devil knows your name, but calls you by your sin or your failure. God knows you by your sin, but he calls you by your name. And again, that's that name he has chosen for you. So don't let fear keep you from growing and from taking the next step. We must keep growing. Hebrews 5, 12-14 says, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. This is not a place I want to stay. I want to be growing. I want to be ready and maturing and ready for more food. We must keep growing. Hebrews 6:1 says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. If you're still at the basic teachings, maybe you've been saved 10 years, maybe you've been saved 20 years, and you're still circulating over whether or not you believe that God can do what he says he can do, I want to challenge you this morning. It's time to take another step of growth. Ephesians 4:14-15. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. And let me just pause here for a moment and say, that is true. There is a lot of new teaching. There is a lot of things that we think, oh, that's in the Bible, and it's really not. Oh, that's what God says, and it's really not. I love the scripture in Acts 17:11 that says the Bereans checked everything against the scripture. They went back to the word of God. And God's word is challenging us. If we don't have a firm foundation, if we're not rooted, if we're not growing, then we're going to be tossed about every time someone has a new idea about who God is or how he thinks or how he acts. We're going to just sway that way rather than basing it on scripture, that firm foundation. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. So how do we overcome this fear of failure? How do we become like Mary in Luke chapter 2, who when the angel visited her about giving birth to the Messiah, she said, let it be. Let it be. Our fear of failure can be caused by a lack of trust or faith, or a shallow faith, weak foundation. And without genuine faith, we tend to just go through the motions, but we don't find ourselves getting anywhere. You know, like an exercise bike? Those things are so annoying. Maybe you love them, but I like to go places, so the fact that I would do something, I now do rowing, and I've been on a rowing machine at the gym, and it's just not the same. It's like, I am going nowhere, and I would check behind me to make sure I wasn't going to hit anyone, and then I'd remember I wasn't moving anywhere, so it wasn't possible. But that's what when we fail to grow, when we fail to move forward, we're stuck. And our faith, our fear of failure, it may be causing us to hide from God. And we trick ourselves into thinking he doesn't really see that we're trying to hide from him. Kind of like Jonah, you know, Jonah gets on a boat, oh, God can't see me, you know. God saw. It was pretty clear. And sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking that these areas we're not willing to step out, God's not really paying close attention. He's moved on to other things, other people. But it is impossible to run from God. And our faith may give way to fear because of previous experiences. Maybe we've grown up in an environment that's critical and unsupportive, or we live in one now. Maybe it's because of previous failure or crushed dreams that cause us to go, well, I don't know if I want to step out and try that again. But God is saying, trust. God is saying, fear not. God is saying, it's time to come out of hiding. It's time to grow. When Adam and Eve came out from hiding, God covered their shame, and he covered their failure. So as we close the service, that's it, I'm pretty much done. I just have a little promo thing to do after this. But there's a song that's really been resonating with me lately, and it's a song called Breakthrough. It's written by Chris McClarney, and it's just been one of those ones I've been putting on repeat on my playlist. And he's really challenging me to new things. He's saying, Carolyn, it's time for you to take the next step of growth. Because growth is for all of us. We've talked about that before. It's not, none of us have arrived. We're not, ooh, I'm done. I've grown. But we're continuing to grow. We're continuing to change. We're continuing to allow God to work in us. So today I'm going to ask you as we play this, we're going to play the lyric video for this song that way you can actually see the words and meditate on them a bit and just chew on them. That's what meditation means, is just to chew on something. And I'm going to challenge you to just chat with God while you're watching that and say, God, what are you asking from me? What's the next step of growth? What's the thing that has become the barrier for me? Where am I hiding from you? And so we're going to do that, and then I'm going to come back and close the service. But Would you just go into an attitude of worship and prayer and just speaking with the Lord as we watch this?
Must be more beyond familiar shores into waters unexplored. This one desire stirring here in me, deep is calling out to deep. Take me from where I've been into something new. I'm giving. My defenses opens the impossible. It's so amazing how you take the ashes and turn them into beautiful. Take me from where I've been into something new. I'm giving up control. I need a breakthrough. Thank you.
anyone here that has something on their heart that they believe the Lord would have them share that pertains to this message? Is there anyone like that here this morning? Lori? Just speak in here. Okay. That's okay.
Through all the video, but especially the tail end, and as you started to speak, as Jesus is the living water, first the Lord wants me to share something. I don't always know what the flags represent. Flags do, they all mean something. I don't always know what they mean. But when the Lord asked me to flag, he asked me to grab a specific flag, and I don't always know what they mean, and I don't always know the actions that the Lord asked me to do, what they mean. But one this, he did share with me this morning, and it was when we were worshiping, and he had me take the flag and go up like this, which represented our worship to the Lord, because this is the altar. This isn't a stage. This isn't a platform. You aren't an audience. Sorry, I'm venting a bit. This is an altar. This is the upper altar. This is the lower altar. This is the altar of the Lord. There should be nothing unclean here. No secular songs, no foul language. This is the altar of the Lord, and we should have the fear of the Lord when we are here. And when we are worshiping, I would really like to see the cross here, but I'm not worshiping the worship team. I'm not worshiping the pastors. I'm worshiping the Lord. I usually have my eyes closed when I'm worshiping, when I'm flagging, because I have to make sure I don't hit anyone. But as we worship, I saw the flag went up like this, and that was our worship to the Lord, going to him, because this is his altar. And then he had me go like this, back down. And he was saying, as we worship him, streams of living water are flowing back to us. And that is him. And as we press in, whether it's washing dishes, changing a diaper or a car tire, or our work, our play, our worship at the altar, whatever it is, it all can be worship to the Lord. It all, I don't want to should anyone, but it all should be worship to the Lord as we commit our every moment of our lives to him. And so with that in mind, with the video and the song, living water, as we've seen in the States and the Philippines right now, as we've seen in many times in the past, water channels. It flows over rocks. It smooths them. It breaks land apart. It cuts through. So the capital LW, the living water, can do all those things for us if we allow him to, is what you're saying. And I shared with Pastor Henry and Jacqueline shortly before they left. I had a counseling session with them, and I shared with Pastor Carolyn that I felt like for months and months I was hitting a glass ceiling, and I said, I need a breakthrough. And so when it said, Jesus, our breakthrough, it's like, well, duh. You know, like, I needed that real tangible, just the words. I mean, I'm an avid note taker. We're going to be writing down, Jesus is our breakthrough. We need a revelation of that. So I'm praying for that for every one of us. And every person on the planet, we need a breakthrough, a revelation of that in our lives. Amen.
And did you hear that this morning? She talked about the living water. So that living water flowing through, creating channels, breaking through barriers of fear. Amen? All right. One more person before we close. Is there anyone else? All right. Well, would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Lord, we do need a breakthrough, Lord, each and every one of us. God, we don't want to stay here. We need to be growing, Lord. And we want to be doing that as individuals as well as together. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't shy away from opportunities for growth, but Lord, that we would embrace the work that you're doing in each one of us. And Lord, I pray for those who did come and say, you know what, that fear of failure resonates with me. I know what God's asking me to do, and I've been afraid. God, I rebuke that spirit of fear in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that you would tear down that stronghold by your living water, just as was mentioned today. And Lord, that seems to be a theme that's been reoccurring over these past few weeks of prayer and ministry. So God, we pray that your living water would do a mighty work, Lord God, that it says, Lord, if we're thirsty, we come to you and drink. God, help us not to hide ourselves away. God, remove shame, remove guilt, remove condemnation. And God, we come to you. Lord, we seek you first, Lord God, and we make ourselves available for what you want to do in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity now to do that. Jesus came to earth to die on the cross and be raised again so that we wouldn't have to stay in a place of sin and brokenness. He came to redeem our lives. He came to wash us clean from sin and give us the promise of an eternal hope, an eternal salvation, eternity with him. And so if you're here this morning and you've never made that decision to follow Jesus and you're saying, that's me, I'm done being here, I'm done being in my sin and my brokenness and my failure, and I want Jesus to come into my life, to give me a chance for a fresh start and give me an eternity with him. If that's you this morning and you'd like to respond, I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand where you are. I'd love to pray with you. Is there anyone like that? All right, I see that hand. You can go ahead and put it down. So church, would you just repeat after me as we close, and that way this individual isn't doing this on their own. It's good for us to remember where we started. Amen. So dear Jesus, I come to you today and I admit that I am a sinner. Lord, I pray that you would come into my heart and you would forgive my sin and you would give me a fresh start. Lord, I also confess that I believe that you are the Son of God, that you came and died for my sins, and you rose in resurrection power. Lord, today I make a commitment to follow you. In your name, amen. Amen. Thank you, church. Well, before you go today, I just want to give you an opportunity or let you know of an opportunity. I'd referred to this earlier, coming up, where you're going to have an opportunity to be transformed, and that's exciting. We have an opportunity to grow together as a church and to grow together into the likeness of his son. And so we're going to gain some skills that we can encourage each other in. We're starting a series called Doing What Jesus Did. It's a seminar I got to participate in the U.S. a year ago. And one of the things is when I was there, I was sharing with somebody this week about this, is that we were in the room. The guy, the presenter, Caleb Brown, got up to do this. And he said, okay, each one of you today is going to lead someone to the Lord. And I'm in Los Angeles, and I am freaking out. I'm thinking, we're going to go out on the streets of L.A., and I have to find the right person to lead into the Lord, and oh my goodness. And I'm a little bit more of an introvert, tend to be a little shyer, so this was totally freaking me out. And it turns out we didn't need to do it quite like that. We were doing practicums in the room and working with each other, which is what you're going to do here so that we can get out. But it challenged me in a good way. It's like, God, if this is what you've called us to do, why did that strike fear in my heart? What needs to be addressed there? What do you need to do? And so I'd encourage you to come out to this. It's going to transform you personally in addition to giving you skills to reach our world and impact the people you meet with every week. So I'm really excited. We're going to watch a quick promo video, and then we are done, and I will dismiss you. It'll come. could turn into one of those bad YouTube lip syncing.
And then you can walk.
MTI is fantastic in that it teaches you all of these ministry skills, and those were great. They made me uncomfortable, and they got me out doing things that I never would have imagined I would do.
When you go through this, you suddenly realize God's active. Here he is, and you're pushed out of your comfort zone, which is exactly what we need. You get the knowledge and the space to practice, but then you're pushed out into practicing it with real people who really need God, and then you can walk away with confidence, knowing, okay, I can go do this, I can take this out into my community.
For the past couple years, I've been struggling with nightmares when it comes to just nightmares of things happening to my family, happening to my kids. And as the guy started leading me into the steps of deliverance, immediately after we got done praying and after I started, you know, renouncing some of that stuff, all those memories, almost like if it was like a picture file, every single one of them just started disappearing. And last night was probably the first night in I don't know how long that I was able to sleep without any fear or any nightmares or anything. It was amazing.
The one thing that MTI did was change my heart. It changed the way that I see people. It changed the way that I look at the marginalized in our community.
I said, man, can I just share my testimony with you? I shared my testimony with him, and he was so excited to hear that along with just what God had already been working in his heart. When I was like, do you want to accept Jesus right now? And he's like, yeah, let's do this. And I prayed with him. He was so excited. He's like, man, I feel like the sky's the limit. It was amazing. And it's like, why haven't I done this before?
The reason why I like to recommend it is because it's like hands-on. Like you just, instead of like just teaching them it and be like, okay, now use it when you leave. No, it's like, use it right now. We're going to do it right now. And we're going to ask God right now. And it's really good. It kind of fights people's fears because a lot of them are just here. They're like, yeah, yep. But then when you actually tell them to do it, they're like, whoa, all right, okay. This is the real stuff. It is.
Understanding that here's what God's done for me. He wants to do this for you too.
So my main takeaway from this seminar is mainly just, number one, that the power of God is real, it's active. What you read about in Acts is happening right now. It's available. And I think when you're pushed out into the practicums and you start doing what you're learning, you suddenly realize, I can do this. This is something I can do right now in my community. That's the biggest thing I can take away from.
I feel like I've been empowered to live the real Christian life, a life full of demonstration of God's love and His power, and I feel encouraged. I feel like I've been ignited. I feel like I'm ready to go, and I feel like this is what it should have always been. So yes, I would fully recommend it.
All right, so that's this Wednesday. Would you guys stand with me as we close? Psalm 92, 12 to 14 says, but the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted into the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even at old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you as you go. Enjoy your week. Take care. Say hello or good.